hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM, FM, shortwave.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. It is a Wednesday. It is the 14th of November, 2007, and we're live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network here in sunny Central Texas. And on today's program, I appreciate this man very much. He's subbed for me on my program before, Dr. Jerome R. Corsi. And Mr. Corsi, he's had a good career so far. I don't know how it can get much better than what it is, but here's hoping that it even gets better. Jerry is the co-author of The Minuteman, The Battle to Secure America's Border, the author of Atomic Iran, and the co-author of the New York Times number one bestseller, Unfit for Command, Swift Boat Veterans Speak Out Against Mr. John Kerry. The author of many articles and books, and he's a Harvard PhD, lives in New Jersey, the only state that I know of that the Statue of Liberty turns her back on that state. I don't know why, but at any rate, he is also a prolific writer, daily articles on WorldNet Daily, and author of the latest book, The Late Great USA, The Coming Merger with Mexico and Canada. And some of the things that are said about this book, Hal Lindsey, Phyllis Schlafly, Howard Phillips. Howard Phillips says that Dr. Corsi documents the incremental steps by which the Bush administration, without public debate or treaty, is moving towards ending the USA's status as a sovereign nation by transferring control of our borders and our political self-determination to a North American bureaucratic-run superstructure. If you love your country, read this book. And that's from Howard Phillips. Phyllis Schlafly chimed in as well. She said Dr. Corsi has connected the dots between the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the sale of toll roads and other infrastructure to foreign countries, and proposals for a North American Union with open borders between Mexico and the U.S. and Canada. The Late Great USA is an essential read for anyone concerned about the future independence and sovereignty of this United States. And Phyllis, we do her bumper when we run Derry Brownfield's program on this network. We use the Phyllis Schlafly Report as the fill-in for what many stations would use for news, and I can't see any better news to get than the people that are on this network, folks. We give it to you straight. But at any rate, we run her, the Schlafly Report, every day on Derry Brownfield. So you might want to tune in for that as well on Republic Broadcasting Network. We have copies of The Late Great USA available here at the network. Folks, let me tell you something about teaching tools. If you do not pick up on the good work that other people have compiled, you may know it, you may think you know it, but unless you're really solid, see, what you've become out there, folks, are teachers. And I don't know too many teachers that don't know their subject matter well enough that they have to refer constantly to a book. Those are for the students. But if you get a copy of The Late Great USA, brush up, read this thing, understand how simple it is in its plan and how it's been put forth, congratulations. Then pass the book off to somebody else. That is our lot in life right now, folks, at least as far as I'm concerned in this network. We are educated. We're educating ourselves in the finer details every single day, but we are the teachers. Let's get out there and instruct some people. Let's help them. Let's help all of ourselves restore this great constitutional republic. We'll break. We'll be back with Dr. Jerome R. Corsi right after this break.
Yeah. The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com. Or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are here. Dr. Jerry Corsi is with us. Good afternoon, Jerry. How are you?
John, I'm great. Thanks. Great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program today. We're not here to talk about your great book, The Late Great USA, which, by the way, I have had so many people tell me that they've read books and then they've read books, but they read this one, and it was a sheer pleasure to read. And more importantly, they saw the advantage of handing off something to somebody that they themselves could understand without coaching, without help from the sidelines.
Well, I really appreciate that, John. That's a great compliment. Thank you very much.
Well, but that's not the reason why you're here today. The reason why you're here today, you are doing a six-part series, and you are the only outside news reporter allowed inside the Joint Interagency Coordination Group to observe command center operations during a real-time national training exercise. And they plan on doing this for 5 years, and they're simulating massive attack to involve every state. What is going on with this, Jerry?
Well, the U.S. NORTHCOM, which is set up as a combatant command, it's one of the major combatant commands of the United States military, and it's a domestic command. The mission is to use the U.S. military in domestic emergency situations, another 9/11 terrorist attacks or a Katrina-type natural disaster or a health emergency where the state capabilities can't handle the situation and they need to call upon the federal government. And so what U.S. NORTHCOM has decided to do is to engage in a series of exercises that will be staged over the next 5 years to involve all the states across the country in basically role-playing of various kinds of disasters scripted to involve the federal players, you know, the federal agencies who participate, and the states in learning exercises of how to work together. And they invited me into the command center at Peterson Air Force Base, the U.S. NORTHCOM NORAD command center, and I was actually able to sit into their command room while they were doing their daily assessments, their major meeting of the day. First time they'd allowed any outsider, anyone from the press, to observe that meeting in real time. So I felt very honored to be allowed inside, and I'm trying to report, you know, just exactly how this exercise, Vigilant Shield 2008, is being conducted. It's now over. It was a week long, and it involved the scenario of role-playing three radiological dispersal devices, RDDs, or dirty bombs, one in Guam, followed by the next day two, one detonated at Sky Harbor in Phoenix, and one detonated at the Steel Bridge in Oregon. And then I want to add for anybody listening, this was role-playing. There were no actually such attacks. This was just part of the exercise. But it was very, very realistic, and the exercise was very comprehensive.
The problem I see with this, Jerry, is that we had a little thing called posse comitatus that some enterprising individuals thought was really an impediment. It really impeded them from doing the security job that they need to do in this country. And I'm watching the further melding of military and police. And Jerry, I don't know exactly how to say this, but this is how tyrannies are. This is how tyrannies operate.
Well, and John, I've written a whole series of articles raising those exact questions. I've written about the National Security Presidential Directive 51 and the Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20 that President Bush can declare an emergency at his self-declaration and take over the operation of all federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal governments. And I've, written that this sets up the stage for a power grab, declare an emergency and take over and declare martial law. Now, the military is in a bind. I mean, the military has got it coming and going both ways. The articles will be published tomorrow in World That Daily. I had a long interview with the commander, General Reinhardt, and I asked him these very questions. On one hand, let's say that we get another 9/11 or another Katrina. Immediately, the federal government's under all kinds of criticism if they don't get in and involve all levels of the federal government assistance to help the situation as quickly as possible. At the same time, you've got the potential for a president to utilize these powers to declare martial law and to take over when the attempt is to suppress freedoms or to suppress dissent or to advance an agenda like the North American Union. And we've never involved the military before in domestic situations, certainly not to the extent that this is being planned. So that's why I went to see it. I went to see how they were doing it, what the inside of it looked. And when I asked General Reinhardt these questions, he openly admits. He says, look, my job is to be a military commander. If I get orders from the president and the Secretary of Defense, we'll get involved. And I got a staff here of 15 lawyers at NORAD that advise us on constitutionally what we can do and can't do. And I can hardly do anything without the lawyers being involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I report to the President of the United States through the Secretary of Defense. So the potential for martial law is there. I think the people I need to understand this, because these are very difficult questions. I mean, these are not easy answer questions. Let's just take the scenario they're gaming. You got three radiological devices going off. You don't know how many more there are to come. You don't know who detonated them. And now you've got two major cities that the airport's down. You can't get in or out of Portland because the steel bridge is closed. And you've got, radiation spreading from these bombs throughout the area. Immediately, the states are presented with an emergency that, within the first few hours, is probably going to exceed their resources to handle. They certainly don't have the way to assess whether they're part of a national attack or how they fit in or what they can do. They don't have the Center for Disease Control ability to evaluate the radiation and figure out how they should handle it. What's going to come next? How many more attacks are there going to be? These are the kinds of questions I think the public and the press would be asking the governors in Arizona and Oregon immediately, and the president would be being asked simultaneously, what are you going to do about it? These, I think, are real dilemmas and concerns.
Well, yeah. Well, what's scarier is the solution to their supposed problem, and that's what I'm having a problem with. And to hire or to have it at ready with this general you were talking to, a battery of 10 or 15 lawyers, that may be fine. But that didn't help Roberto Gonzalez when questions were brought up about extraordinary measures supposedly taken in extraordinary times. But how does that affect the Constitution? And Jerry, I'm sure that was a great visit that you had, because you are privileged to see something that not very many Americans have seen. But about a month ago, I was watching Bill Moyers on PBS, and they were talking about various subjects. But Bill Moyer posed the question, what would happen if we have like 100,000 people at the ready like Blackwater, or we have a scenario of martial law that's declared here inside the United States? And he further went on to speculate that at that point in time, whether Congress was assembled and there was a national emergency, whether the president could maintain the Congress, in other words, not let them even leave the building. Or here's another scenario that he posed. What if Congress was convened and an emergency took place? Would they also be used to keep Congress out of session so the King George II, Mr. Bush, could seize total command and control? And these are the questions that are being asked. But at the heart of this, Jerry, I want to go a little bit deeper behind this, because we've been presented a scenario, and then we're asked to make judgments on a supposed scenario. This smacks of tyranny all the way through. And we have the government telling us that we need to do these things because we need to get better at our jobs in case something happens. Well, folks, we've had the Federal Emergency Management Agency managing supposedly emergencies and chaotic situations in this country. How well did they do that when Katrina struck, along with Homeland Security? Now we're asked to allow the government to meld the military with the police. And in time of national crisis, it's going to be at the president's whim what he declares is going to be suitable behavior as a president, and to take the steps necessary according to his job to keep the nation secure. Jerry, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling real insecure at this point.
Well, John, I think the questions you're raising are legitimate questions. And what I'm saying is that the structures that we're setting, one of the reasons I went out there to investigate this and report on it, is I don't think any of this has gotten national debate or attention. I don't think anybody's really been focusing on these issues. I mean, we have, for instance, another thing people don't know anything about, we've got a national emergency plan, and the Department of Homeland Security is now proposing a national emergency framework. And I write about this. This framework really is a new structure of how the federal government and the states are going to interact in a crisis. Now, when you read the framework and when you watch how they gamed it out in Peterson Air Force Base, they gamed it and the structure is written so the civilian control is there. The civilians are in control of these exercises, and that doesn't mean necessarily they would always be that way. They can be done responsibly or irresponsibly. And that's the question we have to discuss and debate.
Jerry, when governments assume powers, they are very reluctant to give it back. And for me to believe that the president is going to order a national emergency or martial law and that somehow the civilians are going to be in control, I very much am suspicious of that. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
We're back. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that you're going to want to weigh in on this situation, so I'm going to give the green light here, 800-313-9443. Jerry, also in Congress right now, H.R. 1585 that authorizes the plans for the martial law. This is a defense authorization bill, and it is a particularly, I would, in my opinion, say that it is a particular evil piece of legislation that actually gives the authorization to the U.S. military to plan a future merger with the police that will be used during a catastrophic emergency. This bill authorizes the Department of Defense to design a plan for a martial law apparatus. There's no question that the U.S. government is seeking to ratchet up the militarized police state as they anticipate massive resistance to the coming collapse of our economy and war with Iran. This bill is yet another step in the direction of the implementation of a militarized police state in this country. Now, Section 1655 of the bill describes the determination of the Department of Defense civil support requirements. Subsection A states that the following regarding the determination of the requirements, and they go through all the requirements here. But I will say again, this is extraordinary measures to be taken in a time. We did have an attack on September 11, 2001. It is yet to be debated who is responsible. But needless to say, that has given a go-ahead for a lot of different legislation. It has brought us the Homeland Security Act. It brought us Patriot Act 1 and 2. We have turned this country inside out and upside down. And basically, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll say this as succinctly and plainly as I can, that we're all suspects until we prove ourselves innocent to the respective authorities. That is not the America I grew up in, and that certainly is not the America I'm going to check out of when I have to pass from this planet. Now, Jerry, I'm sure that in a scenario, and I know psychologically how this must have affected you, because you have all these military people and the designation for the security of this country. But I would like to ratchet this back down a few steps to look at our foreign policy. What is making people so angry that they're anticipating attacks of dirty bombs or nuclear or biologicals in this country? What is wrong with our foreign policy that we're inviting this supposed wrath on America?
Well, John, I mean, regardless of whether we're inviting it or people are just enemies of the United States anyway, and I don't think you can even take Islamic radicals. I think there's going to be Islamic radicals, regardless of what we do, have already declared they're enemies of the United States. That's just because of our capitalist system, our set of beliefs, our the way we treat women. I mean, there's all kinds of objections to our way of life that the Islamists have that we're not going to be able to deal with, no matter what we do. And then there's issues about whether being in Iraq is a provocation or whether I've certainly not been in favor of any attack on Iran. But I think, John, the idea that you can say we can go back to, you know, total, saying that's the National Guard and the states are going to be able to handle every level of emergency that we're getting hit with. Even Katrina made it clear that that wasn't the case. And even FEMA did a miserable job in Katrina and had virtually no exercising or game planning or anything else to respond to that situation. I mean, I think we've got to think through these situations and define the rules and define how the rules are going to be enforced and get counterbalances into these things. I mean, I'd feel much better if, you know, we take a look at the National Presidential Directive 51 and Homeland Security Directive 20 and get congressional, strong congressional involvement in any of those decisions made. That's the way the National Emergency Act is written. But I don't think we can rule out that there's going to be times and opportunities when the military would need to be involved in domestic situations.
I don't buy that for a second, Jerry. See, you've bought into that premise. I have not. That's the difference here. And I hate to go head-to-head
with
you.
Well, John, what would you do? You would have the National Guard do it alone?
What National Guard? What military? You mean the people that aren't here in this country right now? Look, Jerry, I'm going to be honest.
I'm just saying, John, another Katrina occurs. Forget about terrorists for a minute. Another Katrina occurs. And the state, it's over a 5-6 state region.
Mm-hmm.
And the states can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what's your solution to that?
Now, hold on. Well, let's back up again. Okay, you posed the question. Let me ask you a question. Why have they not, okay, through all of these years of FEMA and all the billions of dollars that have gone into FEMA for exactly these kind of scenarios? Look, Jerry, we've got a military that we can put boots on the ground in 72 hours at any point on this planet. And I'm not buying that because FEMA was not presented with this specific set of circumstance that they could not have handled it better. And I'm not buying that.
Well, John, you got to then have FEMA do the game playing,
mm-hmm.
which it's not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah, and the question is why?
Well, if the military is coordinating it and getting if FEMA has its own center, it has its separate center as well that does the operational planning. And what I'm thinking, you know, what appears to be the case is FEMA is now ratcheting up more game playing itself.
Mm-hmm.
But in these national exercises, you know, it's not assumed from the beginning the military is just going to run in and take over. That's not the way it was done.
No, but what we did have is we did have Mercs down there. We did have Blackwater in operation down there. And we also had some help for our Israeli friends over there. We actually had them hired out to certain individuals down in Katrina when that disaster happened. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Pinch me, Bill.
I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Dr. Corsi, I apologize for being contrary to your position here, but I would not be able to sleep with myself tonight if I didn't go head-to-head with you on this deal.
Well, I'm happy to, you know, to discuss this issue. I think it's one we've got to discuss. You take a look at the 9/11 Commission report. You get half the criticism in there is that George Bush didn't prevent the attack. He was soundly run over the coals by the Democrats over that issue. We've got a situation where right now it's, you know, you're blamed if you do and you're blamed if you don't. I'm saying that the issue of whether the military ought to be involved, and if so, how they ought to be involved, are important questions that need to be debated.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm pointing out, we've got structures here to involve the military, and they're now being structured with the plans that are being developed and gamed under civilian control. But I think the definitions need to be carefully defined, and we've got to make sure that we don't have laws that are overbroad, that a president we don't like can come in and interpret them and create them for martial law. I mean,
yeah.
right now you've got, you know, Musharraf in Pakistan declaring martial law. It doesn't make any difference whether he's got a constitutional basis in Pakistan to do it. We'd have the same here. If, with or without all this apparatus and structure, a president declared national emergency and told the military to get involved and ordered it through the Department of Defense, I'm sure the military would respond and do what the president wanted done, regardless of whether this apparatus was in place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this apparatus being in place gives us a chance to debate these issues and define these things and make sure that they are structured appropriately before we just go ahead and do it.
Well, and what we're being asked to do here, Jerry, from a government that is just bound and determined to keep us safe from cradle to grave, is for us to blindly trust that once they make this merger between the military and the police, and supposedly that we're going to have the civilians in charge of this, we're being asked to take this on faith that this government is going to do this for our benefit. Now, I for one, am not prepared to do that.
John, your skepticism is healthy. But what I'm telling you is when I was there, and as I've read and studied this, there were two ways they could have done this. They could have done it such that the military is in control, and we're going to tell everybody what to do. And it wasn't done that way. The military, even in this game, was involved and asked to be involved in a very limited capacity. They weren't mobilizing huge units and sending them to Phoenix and to Oregon to take over. They were asking, you know, what military units could be involved in medical supply. Could they use medical? Could the military supply airplanes? Could they supply other equipment that was needed on the scene? Could they help coordinate with the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, to evaluate the radiation? I mean, these are questions that somebody in this kind of emergency is going to have to do. And the group that has the airplanes and the equipment to handle this on a national basis is the military.
Jerry, I understand that, and that's all fine and dandy. My problem is that we keep going down this path. And it's the same argument, the same type of argument that's being used in Iraq right now. Okay, we got 1 million Iraqis dead over there right now. And if there are people in the Arab world that are sitting back and they're just laying down for this, and we don't turn them into people with extreme ideas because they don't know what else to do, we're in my mind, what we're doing is creating a situation that will make something like this necessary.
Well, John, yeah. You're shifting ground and you're changing subjects. I mean, I'm not sure.
Well, no, wait a minute.
What we're doing in Iraq is right or not.
Which, haven't made up your mind about that yet, Jerry? I have.
Well, I'm saying, John, this is a separate discussion.
No, I understand that, but I'm talking. I understand they're two distinct,
separate
different
issue.
Things. Yes, I understand.
Regardless
that.
Of why we have an attack here. If there's an attack or a natural disaster or, you know, a health disaster of various kinds, mm-hmm. We're going to be required to have a national response. That's going to be, if it involves multiple states, we're going to have a national response. And I don't think it's irresponsible to game that. I don't think it's irresponsible to game it with the military being involved. It'd be irresponsible if the military came in and said, we're in charge. We're taking over.
Yeah. Okay. But my point is that you're given two possible scenarios, and you're telling what we're being told is we're being told pick your poison, pick which one that you like better. And my point about Iraq was simply this, Jerry, is that we were told that the reason why we've got to go in there because this guy is an evil guy. You know, the CIA was in. Look, England.
Well, John, you're shifting grounds on this. I don't want us to have this discussion be a debate about.
No, Jerry, I'm trying to make my corollary point, and I can't get to it.
Well, John, if you want to say that the government lied once, so it's going to lie always, is that your point?
Well, once.
I mean, no, but you're trying to say it lied on weapons of mass destruction.
Absolutely. And we're being fed a new bucket of bull here about the Iran issue. But you're right. These are two separate things.
Two separate things.
But not necessarily. What I'm trying to do is to draw this into people's consciousness here, is that we're going down this path. And now we're being forced to make decisions. And the point I was simply going to make about Iraq, Jerry, is the argument that you hear how many times repeated, well, we're here now, what are we going to do about it? Well, wait a minute, we shouldn't have been there in the first place. We shouldn't have gone down that path. Number one, it was illegal. It was unconstitutional. Congress had ceded the President of the United States proactive and preemptive strike ability that he can declare an enemy any place on this planet, put the boots on the ground, and go get the bad guy without congressional oversight. That's the distinction that I was going to make there. In the meantime, and if this information is correct, and I've been researching this out, between Gulf War I and Gulf War I Part II, we've actually lost 73,000, more than 15,000 more than we lost in Vietnam. And this is an unmitigated disaster. Now, I don't want to argue the politics or even the economics of this, but when we demonstrate to the people of this planet that we're going to do the same thing applies here in this country, that we're going to do this for your own good, I'm not buying the argument. I'll tell you what, let's take a little hiatus here. Let's roll some phone calls, 800-313-9443. And Jerry,
John, you're going all over the board here on me. You're throwing it in the kitchen sink.
I understand that, but you see my points about
this. I don't, John. You're losing me. I'm trying to make some limited points here and follow this through and not, you know, discuss the origin of the world.
All right, Jerry. Let's just roll some calls here. George in Florida, you're up first.
How you doing, John? How you doing, Jerry? Hi.
Good, George.
I'm reading your book, Late Great USA, and I enjoy it so far.
Thank you very much.
Yes, one thing about this martial law incident, it comes back to your SPP-NAU. If our troops are not here, we got no National Guard. I am worried they'll use foreign troops as the military apparatus in this. I mean, because Mexican troops were in New Orleans after Katrina.
Yes, and we also had Blackwater in mm-hmm. New Orleans after Katrina. I think Katrina was not only a disaster for the natural disaster that hit, I think it was a disaster for how we managed the response. And what I'm trying to do with these articles is to try to say, okay, the steps are being taken by the government to try to get a handle on how we're going to manage national emergencies. And I think we got to get into figuring out what the government's doing and debate the issues, which is what we're starting to do here with John. I agree with you. I don't think we need Mexican troops in Katrina. But the issue is, with this North American Union idea, you know, if we're going to have a NORAD that is a continental defense, how much does it involve Mexico and how much does it involve Canada? And that's, I think, a legitimate issue that we need to discuss. It's why I wrote the Late Great USA. I'm too concerned that we're becoming a continental command.
Well, Jerome, I lived down in Miami when Andrew hit.
Right.
And we didn't see one troop of National Guard, not even FEMA coming to our area. I mean, we were lost with power for like a long time, and
right.
we didn't have no running water. But yet, the people in the community, we all managed to survive without them. We managed to keep the mosquito control down. We managed. Everything. We managed to feed ourselves, clean ourselves, everything. And the thing is, it's more like we, and you know, the thing is, the President Bush, what he, and his executive orders, everything, it's trying to put a finishing nail on a wall under and drywall and using a sledgehammer to drive the nail through.
I understand your point, George.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
I think you've got some legitimate points. There are times when it should have no involvement, even of FEMA. But again, these are things that we've been responding to as a nation without any thought at all. And I think we've got to not let it just drift. We've got to put some structures in place and debate them.
Yeah. And Jerry, what greatly concerns me is, I can understand the contention. And there needs to be a response for a national emergency. You know, I mean, we have never been struck by nuclear weapons in this country. We have never been bombarded by biologicals. We have had no great plagues. We've had no game plan in place. What my reservations are simply this, and what I was saying and using the analogies with Iraq and whatever, is that we have seen what has been done. And I don't know who these people are talking to. I don't know where they're getting their foreign policy information. I don't know that they're thinking at all. And to hand over, and not, I'm not saying hand over our sovereignty or our liberties, but to do this in such a way that there is a possibility, and with civilian involvement or not, it doesn't matter to me at all. It is the fact that we have got to consider this type of measure, and we have seen the melding of the military and the police. And they have not given us the reasons as to why they're doing it. You know, I've watched law enforcement in this country absolutely change within my lifetime, and I'm not liking it. And we've got, I mean, Jerry, it's extremely uncomfortable, and I don't think anybody in this country wants to cede more power to this government that has been irresponsible, has not game-planned anything, has wasted billions and trillions of dollars supposedly for natural disaster relief and whatever else. It's like handing a baby a loaded six gun, in my estimation.
Well, John, yeah. We're going to have a series. We already have had. You know, if you take a look at the military, what it was planning for up until very recently was a Cold War nuclear exchange with the Soviet Union. That was the focus of NORAD's planning up until very recently. We haven't done anything beyond that. If you take a look at disaster planning, going back into FEMA, you know, FEMA has been a sleepy agency. Katrina refocused the nature of natural disasters that we could face. And if we have a series of natural disasters, what if we have a major earthquake across six or seven states? What if we have a tsunami that hit the United States on the East Coast or the West Coast the way it hit out in Indonesia?
Well, and these are, I don't know if they're plausible scenarios, they're possible scenarios. I don't know what the possibility is, but again, I want to stress the point, Jerry, that look, yeah, there has to be a response to disasters, but I think where the downfall here has happened is, you know, let's take Katrina for instance. I don't want to go all over the map with you again because I know you want to stay centered here. But these people down in New Orleans understood the situation down there. They had the Army Corps of Engineers. I don't know where they got these guys, supposedly, to build dikes and whatever else. It wasn't Katrina that killed New Orleans. It was the damn seawalls that broke loose.
The seawalls broke loose and New Orleans flooded.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that happened, and it was a multi-state disaster as well. It wasn't just limited to Louisiana. And when it happened, we were totally, you know, FEMA didn't know what it was going to do. Bush didn't know what he was going to do.
But see, here's my question, Jerry. You know, I mean, and I know you don't have the answer for this, and I don't want to beat you up over this. I really don't, because I have a lot of respect for you. But we have FEMA. How long has FEMA been in business? This is what they were supposed to be doing. Now, I know that you cannot plan out every scenario. There's always going to be ripples and bumps, and there's going to be problems in anything.
But, John, what I'm saying is one of the lessons we learned out of Katrina was that FEMA was totally unprepared. FEMA didn't know what it was doing.
Yeah, neither did Mike Chertoff either.
Well, none of them knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were all exchanging business cards at the scene of an accident.
Right.
These people hadn't even met each other. And when it came to what are we going to do to bring in resources here to deal with this situation, you know, FEMA was scratching its head. And in the meantime, you had all kinds of discussions back and forth between the mayor and the governor and the White House.
I watched all of it, just like you did.
Who was going to be in charge.
Right.
And what's going on right now is you've got a discussion saying we're going to organize a series of drills and we're going to get all the players involved and we're going to go through this for some period of time to figure out who's going to do what in these natural disaster or other emergency situations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's inherently irresponsible. I think that's inherently responsible.
Well, and let's backtrack a little bit. And the caller pointed out, George, are you still with us?
Can I interject something?
George, hold on a second. Let me make a point before you bring anything else on the table. We have the National Guard in this country. Well, we used to have them. They're doing tours in Iraq right now. And we used to have the National Guard that was there at the governor's command to coordinate, to do whatever. And the problem I'm having here is they're ramping this whole thing up. But basically what they're taking, Jerry, is a toy that's broken. And they're going to up the ante with this, and now they need more manpower. Now they need more authority. Now they need more, more, more. I'm saying that the scenario that's being given to us, that, well, do we have a complete military takeover until everything is calmed and everything is smoothed out? You know, do we involve the civilians with this? And I'm not buying any of this. Well, first
John,
of all, I'm not buying all of any of it.
I've been following this for like 25 years or more. I mean, I've gone back to the race riots in the 60s when I was reporting and writing about them back then.
Yeah, I was living it.
Well, and, you know, you had, and it was as much of a mess then. You had, you know, the first Governor Romney in Detroit having a, you know, a back and forth fight with Lyndon Johnson as to who was going to call in federal troops to help them. And nobody knew back then what to do. They were all going and reading the law books for the first time in the middle of the Detroit riot.
And this was, and I might add, this is before, in 1973, that the National Guard was basically federalized.
Well, and Romney did ask for federal troops, and the way that was brought in and the whole nature of the way that was managed was a second disaster on top of the race riot.
But he asked for federal troops, but it was actually National Guard that was on the ground. We'll take this break. George, I know you got a follow-up. Alan, Don, Felix, we'll get to all of your calls. We'll do that right after this.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for this sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com. Or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365. 0365.
George in Florida. I want to get these calls rolling. Go ahead and make your point or a follow-up question there, George.
Yeah, well, you hear about, like, when they say public health outbreak and all that stuff, need to use the military and all that stuff. Well, I look on in our my town's history where I live. Back in the 1920s, they had scarlet fever outbreak, wiped out about three-quarters of a town. And it was a local control that kept the town quarantined until the epidemic passed, and we had the tuberculosis outbreak. We had smallpox outbreaks. Mm-hmm. And yet the military was never involved, but yet it was all done on local levels. And this is the thing is, we can't have, like it's Homeland Security. It's all up to local control.
Yeah. And George, and thank you. We got your point here. And this is, I guess, he just brought this in focus for me, Jerry. That's what this should be planned on, is the local response.
And John, that's what I'm telling you, reporting, is what these were gamed at. It was local response. The governors were in control of these exercises. That's how they were gamed. That's how they were structured. The military was not in there saying, we've got to get down there and get involved. That was not the first impulse or the way these things were done. And it's not the way these national response plans are being written. Now, it's a separate issue that they could be abused, but I think we got to distinguish that that's not the way they're being written.
Well, and the path to hell is paved with good intentions,
well, John,
and I understand.
You're also going to have a situation if we do have a kind of disaster that we're talking about here, or a health disaster of a magnitude that's national epidemic again, the president is not going to be able simply to sit by and let thousands of people suffer or die without being able to say, what's my full range of responses here? It's not going to happen. I mean, even in the Detroit situation, going back into the 60s, it was federal troops that were finally brought into Detroit to calm the riot. We've been having this history of federal involvement of military going back decades. It just has not been carefully thought out, and we need to have it thought out. We need to have it debated.
All right.
And it needs to remain under civilian control. I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah. It certainly does. And in their infinite wisdom and their resources that they can bring to bear, Jerry, I watched the fires out in the West.
NORAD and NORTHCOM were involved in that too. They supplied airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get involved and militarize the situation.
Mm-hmm.
They worked with the civilian authorities, and they actually enacted the game plan that I saw them game play.
Mm-hmm.
There were military aircraft involved in those firefights, but it was limited and it was all done through civilian control.
Yeah, the key word there was limited. Do you think that they did a good job? I mean, you were closer to that than I was.
Well, I think these fires out in California were managed about as effectively as I've seen anything managed in the United States since I was born. And in terms of an emergency or disaster,
okay.
I mean, we had thousands of acres that burned, but the fires were controlled, the fires were put out, and it was a coordinated local, state, federal response.
All right, 800-313-9443. I'm not going to leave you callers holding, so if you've called in and you've dropped off, I really wish you wouldn't do that, because it screws things up. So if you call in, just hang on. We promise we'll get to your calls. And folks, this is a very important issue. If you thought it was important to call up and put your 2 cents in, we'll hang around to put your 2 cents in. We're talking with Dr. Jerome Corsi here, and we're talking about his six-part series here on this new game plan that they're coming up with. Rather than having total military control here, it's better that we have civilian involvement. That's what's at stake here. Hour 2 of the National Intel Report coming up. We'll be right back after the top of the hour break.